Introducing Tools for Living Your Fullest Life. This is Life's Toolbox with Kenny Brixey on Empower Radio. Now, here's your host, Kenny Brixey.
Welcome to Life's Toolbox, where each week we discuss tools that will assist you in opening awareness to your own incredible truth and empower your journey to authentic living. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Today, I am honored to have my dear friend Jan Lundy back with us, and she is here to talk about living gently with yourself. I want to open with a passage from her new book and 30-day program entitled Living Gently with Myself. Jan writes, "You may have come to this path for any number of reasons. Perhaps you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed by life, or you find yourself trapped in a relationship or job that is depleting your energy. You may be feeling exhausted, lost, or out of touch with your spirit. You may have received a surprising health diagnosis and been told you must slow down and live differently. You may have suffered a loss, feel confused or empty, not knowing how to heal. You may want to heal childhood wounds, making peace with your past. You may be struggling with aging. You might know on a very deep level that your life is out of balance and you're not sure how to get it back. I believe we come to this path for all sorts of reasons and at precisely the right time in our lives. Living kindly and gently with yourself can be the balm, the medicine, and the restorative protocol for whatever ails you." I just found that as such a beautiful passage. I had to share that. And like I said, it comes from her, from Jan's new book and 30-day program that we're going to talk about throughout the show. But whether you're feeling any of these issues in your life or something altogether different, you are here for a reason. And since there are no accidents, I know that you will receive beautiful guidance from Jan as we talk on this topic. For those of you who may not be familiar with Jan and her wonderful work, let me just tell you a very quick bio on her before we begin our chat. Dr. Janice Lundy is the co-founder and director of the Spiritual Guidance Training Institute, which is a leading edge organization engaging in education, experiences, and relationships for practical, integrative, and unitive living. She is an interfaith, interspiritual guide, the author of several spiritual formation books, including Your Truest Self and My Deepest Me, and she's the creator of the Pure Presence Method. She resides in Michigan, which I was just up there not too long ago. It's absolutely beautiful, and you can learn more about Jan at her websites. One of those is www.janlundy.com, and the other is www.spiritualguidancetraining.com, and both of these are listed in her bio, which you'll find on the show page at empowerradio.com. So, without further delay, let's bring Jan on. Hi, Jan. So good to have you back on the show.
Well, good afternoon, Kenny. I am delighted to be here with you, as always. We always have such enlightening and empowering conversations. So thanks so much for inviting me.
Yeah, we really do. And I always walk away from these feeling uplifted. So I always look forward to you being here. So let's just dive right in. I want to just ask you, what does it mean to live gently?
That's a really good place to start, because I think living gently is something that, well, at least upon first hearing those two words put together, people might have a lot of misconceptions about what it means to live gently. So for me, it's actually probably the opposite of what people might naturally think. It is a path of empowerment, which you're all about with this show, by being deeply aware, caring, and attentive to what brings us closer to whole health and spiritual well-being. Living gently is a courageous path. I say it's not for the faint-hearted, because it is a countercultural path and often deeply understood. One of my experiences is that people think living gently means you turn into some kind of an immediate wuss or a passive person. Yeah. Or you just have given up on life and you're just, you know, navel gazing or walking through life, gazing up at the clouds. And it's a practice that is very deep. It takes us into our deepest desires for how we truly want to live. And then to put practices to that which make it a reality. So it requires, as I said, deep awareness of self, of your thoughts, your feelings, and how you're actually living. And that's hard sometimes to say, you know, as you read the passage in the introduction, sometimes we realize our life really isn't working very well. And we have to admit that to say, and what might I need to change? What might I need to do differently? But most importantly, how do I engage myself differently? And I think the path of self-gentling and self-kindness is that really powerful path.
It is. And you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about here recently, I have basically just gotten off of social media because it was so almost enraging to see all of the fighting and the bickering and the people jumping on sides. And to me, living gently, like you were talking about, is to become aware of your own inner truth, inner being, and live that, allow that to be seen. And that takes courage. That is no way being a wuss. I can just see how it's just vitally important that we begin to do that.
Something very simple. It starts with something very simple, like what you said, though it's complicated because we have a lot of emotional ties to it, is stepping away from what doesn't bring you deeper peace. Mm-hmm. Stepping away from what's agitating you, drawing you into states of being that you don't want to be in, and stepping towards something that embodies and holds the values that you wish to have more prominent in your life. And I know you're not alone with a lot of people that I've read over the past couple of years, especially myself, who have, you know, stepped away from the type of media that creates really strong states of mind that keep us separated from one another and keep us separated from that. I think the gentleness, the peace, the calm, the love that lives deep inside of all of us.
Yeah, I read something the other day, and I wish I could remember who wrote it, but they posed a question to the reader, and the question was, are you thrilled with the results of your life and all that you experience? Mm-hmm. If the answer is anything but an absolute yes, then change how you experience life. And this, to me, is what you're talking about here, this getting out of the onslaught of things thrown at us each day and tuning into truth, and that truth that lies within, and then living that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where the book starts, this 30-day journey. It starts with day one, doing what I call asking the heartful question. What do I really need right now? On a soul level, and I think this is the key, on a soul level, to be happy and at ease in my life. And that's a burning question. It takes courage to step into the answers to that, because maybe our life is showing up much different than that in the moment. But there is a path through. And so what I attempt to do in this book is to show you how to do that in very simple practices that really do engage our soul, our spirit. And so it takes some dedication. It takes some practice, a commitment that you really are ready to live in a way in which your life unfolds with more ease and meaning.
Well, Jan, I know that you've been practicing this in your own life. Can you tell us a little bit about your own living gently journey?
And it continues, Kenny. It's not like I arrived and, you know, and I've got it all down pat. But as you know from reading the book, a lot of us are really pushing through life. We're really caught up in striving and accomplishing and achieving. And I was no stranger to that. I lived a very fast-paced life for many, many years. And as you and I have talked about before, too, eventually that resulted in sort of a crash and burn health experience, which really was an awakening. It was probably one of the key spiritual moments of my life to realize that I had to live differently because I simply could not live at the pace I was living and be healthy, body, mind, or spirit. So it was learning to do what I call gentle down. And that is one of the practices in the book where if you can, you know, lots of us feel like we're kind of driving the car of our life down this very fast track, a super highway of life, and things just keep coming at us that we have to dodge, or sometimes there are even mishaps and crashes. But at some point, we might have to shift the car into neutral to just begin to slow down and sort of coast. And that was one of my first experiences of learning to live more gently, that I had the power to put my hand on the gear shift of my own life and change the gears so that I wasn't going 90 miles an hour all the time, but I could go more purposefully. I could go with more conscious awareness. And then how do you arrange your day around that? How do you build a life around that? And it literally is moment by moment, day by day, practice by practice. And we begin to see all the ways that we are resistant to that. So for me, my path of living gently is, an example would be in the book, there's a section called Wild Expectations. And that's like my nemesis still. I have wild expectations of myself of, oh, you can do this and you can accomplish that and you can push through and get it done. And the moment I try, it's like my body mind goes, whoa, wait a second. You know, you've been here before and this did not turn out well. So stop, take a breath, come back to your own awareness and ask yourself those questions like, is this really what I want to be doing right now? Is this really how I want to be operating in my life? Are these the thoughts and feelings? So a lot of us push. And I think that's one of the big struggles with living gently in terms of our culture, because we're all about pushing and achieving and accomplishing and getting everything done as quickly as we can with grade A quality.
Yeah. For me, it feels like I'm pushing a rope. You know, I'm staying real busy and I'm trying to do all this other stuff and it's just making no progress. And it's only when I slow down and I take that breath like you're talking about and change directions for me, it's like the react versus respond that we've talked about before, where, the reaction is just busyness, but the response takes consideration and mindfulness, and when I get there, I that's when I feel like I'm gentling my existence, even, you know. So
yeah,
now, okay,
exactly.
Now your book is a 30-day journey. Why did you choose a 30-day?
Well, because if it was a 30-year journey, people probably wouldn't read it.
That's true.
Yeah.
It'll take a while. So,
in the spiritual kind of, do I dare call it business world? I mean, ministry and spiritual direction, of which I'm a part. People often take 30-day retreats. And you've heard of the yogis of different traditions going into the mountains, into a cave for 30 days. And you come out different after 30 days. Mm-hmm. So most of us can't escape to a hermitage. And so I thought, if we could just do one of these lessons each day, and it's not like getting it right and perfect, because this is the work that takes a lifetime, but at least we could cultivate a new awareness around it, just one each day. And then people say to me, well, there's there's more here than I can do in a day. Well, then take a week, and maybe it's 30 weeks and you do it for, you know, the majority of a year. If you did work through the lessons that are here, and there are reflection questions to go deeper, and there are affirmations to use, you truly would come back out a very different person. So the practice is key. As you know, we can all give lip service to these beautiful principles, but until we stop just reading them and actually begin to put them into effect, nothing changes. So the work, as you know, is very practice-based. I'm just a practical chick. I just need to know what works and point me in the right direction, because then I will do it. But we have to get to the point where we really, maybe we realize we've just been reading about it, but we aren't implementing it. We're not integrating it into our lives.
You mentioned awareness just a moment ago, and to me, that awareness is the key step. I don't believe you can put anything into practice until you have that awareness. Otherwise, you're just going through the motions. You're pushing the rope, or you know, driving beyond where you actually are. So
that's very true.
Yeah. So awareness is key. And I love the way you said that. It's not about getting this step right or wrong. It's about opening awareness to what this step can do. And from there we can grow and we can learn.
So, right. Exactly.
All right. So now, one of the themes in this book, throughout this book, is permissions. Say more about that. What do you mean when you talk about permissions?
Yeah, as I was writing the book, I realized, and putting the 30 passages together, that word just kept coming up again and again. So it's permission to stop, for example, permission to let go of something, permission to do something different, permission to allow yourself to care for yourself when you need it instead of pushing through. So this permissions theme just comes up again and again, that I feel sometimes maybe we're waiting for someone else to say, you know, it's okay, you can do that. You know, you can sit down in the middle of the afternoon and you can take some breaths and put your feet up and have a cup of tea and get back in touch with why once again you were beating yourself up because you just didn't get something done the way you felt you should get it done. And time to reflect and to start again. So that's even one of the permissions, permission to begin again. Lay something down that isn't working. Lay down a mistake you made. Lay down a way that you've been talking badly to yourself, and start again. But the permissions really do have to come from within, from a deeper part of ourselves. I like to think of it also in the light of befriending, that inside of you there is a good, wise friend that's a part of yourself that says, stop, take a breath, notice what you're doing. Is this a kind thing that you're doing to yourself right now? Is this a realistic expectation? And listen to that voice, because it is really your wise self. It's an aspect that each of us have of our personalities. And it's connected to our deeper truth. So permission to listen to that voice instead of what somebody else tells you. So yes, permission granted is a really common theme all the way through this book, in terms of living more kindly and gently with yourself on multiple levels.
I love that is one of the themes, because I have one permission. Well, I give myself permission to do a lot of things, but the one that I treasure the most is I give myself permission to evaluate what I'm going through, what I'm thinking, what I'm doing without judgment.
Yes.
And I think that's key to any self-growth work, any forward movement, is to do it without judgment, do it without, like, as you said a moment ago, beating yourself up. it's, you go back to the title of this book, you live gently with yourself. You gently give yourself permission to do this and trust that you're doing what's best for you. So yeah. I love permissions. In our notes back and forth, you had mentioned that, and that was when I saw that, it just, okay, yeah, I get it. So beautiful. Thank you so much for having that in the book. Now, let me ask you, where does self-compassion fit in? Because a lot of people consider self-compassion sometimes selfish, sometimes unneeded. Sometimes, you know, we have all kinds of things, you know, the thoughts that come around self-compassion. Where does it fit in with living gently?
I think it's the foundation. I really do. And you and I have talked quite a bit about self-compassion in the past, so maybe we can even reference or guide people back to some of the previous shows that we've done, because I think we've really talked extensively about that in the past. It's so key, because we are so hard on ourselves. We expect more of ourselves than we would ever expect of others. And perfection, especially getting everything done just right in a certain way. So the self-compassion is really, it's not selfish. It's an aspect of good self-care where it invites us to be as gentle with ourselves as we would anybody else. So when we're having a hard time, when we're in a moment of difficulty, even difficulty we've created for ourselves, inside ourselves, like you mentioned, beating yourself up, self-judgment. That's a very powerful awareness to have. And it is a moment that requires self-compassion to say, wow, this is not good for me to be holding myself in this way. How could I be more gentle with myself in this moment? And so it's up to each of us to catch ourselves, I think, in those moments of difficulty and extend a generous hand. I often imagine that my more kinder, generous self is touching me on the shoulder, like reminding me, they're there. You know, this is hard. You're struggling with this. Take a kind breath and just open your heart to yourself, because you really are doing the best you can, or you'd be doing something different. Mm-hmm. So I do think in any, and that's not original. That came from one of my wonderful mentors and teachers, who is a source of great Jewish wisdom. I have carried that with me for so long. She's like, Jan, really, you're doing the best you can in any given moment, or I know you'd be doing something else. And it's so very true. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, yeah. We're so hard on ourselves sometimes. Well, let me ask you one last question before we have to wrap the show. And that question is, do you have a favorite living gently practice?
Oh, there's so many. You know me, Kenny. There's so many. But this is,
put you on
this
the spot.
I know it. There's so many. But I do think that coming back to that anchoring breath. You know, we've all been taught different ways to breathe, whether we've been in Lamaze or we've been in yoga class or we've been in mindfulness training. But I like to think of breath as an anchoring breath. So if you imagine that, you know, you're in a boat, the boat of your own life, the boat of yourself in your body, and you drop anchor, boom, there it is. That's how deeply we can be connected to breath, so that it can calm everything, even how we relate to those stormy seas of life. And so that's the second practice in the book. It's really a foundational practice. So I go back to that anchoring breath all the time. You know, like you, there's so many things that always come up to knock us off balance, and even our own difficult thoughts. So if we can drop that anchor of breath and let it serve us well, we can come back to center. We can begin again, grant ourselves a new permission to enter back into our life in a kinder, gentler way.
Mm-hmm. It is so important. I actually have timers set on my phone and post-it notes around my office to remind me to breathe, because it is something that even though I teach it, I forget it.
We do. We're constantly holding our breath and we're just trying to get through something in particular. And if we just stopped and connected with that deeper part of ourselves where, and you know, breath, if we want to put a spiritual spin on it, the word breath comes from the Greek word spiritus, which is spirit. So, you know, when we're connecting to the breath, we are connecting to that deepest, truest part of ourselves that is our spirit and the greater spirit or the divine. So our breath can be that sacred touch point to calm and center us.
All right. Well, Jan, very quickly, can you tell people how they can get their hands on this book and this program?
Oh, thank you. Well, my website, janlundy.com. If you go to the homepage, you'll see the book splashed right there. And it's a one-click order process through my Secure Store and PayPal, and it gets shipped to you within a week. And at my blog, I give Living Gently tips on my Awakened Living with Jan Lundy Facebook page. I give gentle living tips. And it's a self-paced program, but you know, I'm always available and people email me and tell me how they're doing. And I love to interact with the readers and give any kind of support or help that I can. So just take a little tour around the website and you will find your way into all kinds of avenues of living more gently with yourself.
Well, very nice. Folks, please connect with Jan. I promise you it's going to be worth your while. As always, my deepest gratitude goes out to Brent Carey and Mark, my producer, for creating and doing such a wonderful job with Empower Radio. Until next week and beyond, be gentle with you. Be kind to you. You deserve it. Love and peace.